The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are digging into a truly foundational text of modern cultural critique, Susan Sontag's groundbreaking book on photography.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We're talking about a book from the 1970s, but honestly, it reads like it was written yesterday.
It really does. It feels less like looking back at history and more like, I don't know, finding a user manual for navigating our completely image-saturated world today.
That's it, exactly. I mean, think about it. She wrote this before the internet, way before smartphones or Instagram. And yet somehow, she just perfectly diagnosed the core issues, the sort of psychological and ethical knots we're all tied up in with our visual culture.
So our mission today really is to unpack Sontag's critical lens for you. We want to help you understand why that camera roll on your phone and just the sheer volume of images you consume every day, why it all matters so much to how we think and feel now. What really grabs me about this book, The Hook, is Sontag's argument, and she's relentless about it, that photography isn't just, you know, a hobby. It's not just art. It fundamentally rewired our relationship with reality itself, with truth. With actual experience.
Right.
I mean, if you've ever been at a concert or on a beautiful hike or even at a birthday party and found yourself focusing more on documenting the moment than just being in it.
Yeah, capturing it.
Yeah, capturing it. Sontag was writing about the implications of that choice, the cost of it, decades ago.
And to really get the critique, we should probably talk a bit about the critic herself.
Huh.
Susan Sontag, who lived from 1933 to 2004, she was, well, a powerhouse. One of the most formidable American public intellectuals of her time.
A really prolific writer, essayist, political activist, too, tackled huge themes with this incredible, like, precision.
But what's really crucial here, I think, is that Sontag wasn't a photographer. She wasn't coming at this as an art historian in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
No, she was a cultural critic, you know, famous for works like Against Interpretation. Her whole approach was about dissecting the hidden assumptions underneath cultural forms. She saw things like photography not just as objects to admire, but almost as symptoms.
Symptoms of a societal condition.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. And that outsider view is exactly why On Photography packs such a punch.
Yeah.
She wasn't bogged down in the technical stuff. She came at the camera from this philosophical, sociological angle.
She had this knack for taking something that seems so ordinary, so mundane, like snapping a picture and tracing its connections to these massive ideas about power, about ethics, about our inner lives.
She was analyzing the behavior of what she called a photographically armed society, which is, I mean, us now, right?
Totally. Okay, so let's get into the book itself. How is it structured?
Right. So On Photography isn't one single argument laid out start to finish. It's actually a collection of six essays. They were published separately over a few years initially. But when you read them together, they form this incredibly cohesive and really powerful polemic, a sustained argument.
And the core idea, what's the central premise she just hits you with?
It's that photography is absolutely not neutral. It's not just a window showing you what's there. She argues it's an aggressive act, an act of interpretation.
How so? Aggressive.
Well, by choosing what to frame, what to capture, what to freeze in time, the photographer is actively creating something new, a second reality, really, a world made of images. She famously calls it the image world.
That term image world feels so relevant, but I think that core idea that photography isn't neutral might be tough for people today. We just think of our phones as tools, right?
Of course. But Sontag argues this constant flood of pictures, this image world, it actually encourages a kind of detachment. A voyeuristic stance towards life.
Like we're always looking at things rather than being in them.
Exactly. And it allows us to sort of aestheticize things that shouldn't be aestheticized, like suffering, turning real horror into just another compelling image.
Which gives us this weird paradox, right? We feel like we know more because we've seen the pictures, but maybe we actually understand less.
Precisely. It gives a false sense of knowledge. A sense of control, while potentially distancing us from genuine empathy or real understanding.
So the whole book is basically an inquiry into this thing we do all the time without thinking.
Yeah, an activity so commonplace, its effects have become almost invisible. Sontag just peels back the layers and forces us to look at photography's different roles, sometimes contradictory roles, as art, but also as evidence, as surveillance, and maybe most importantly, as a form of power.
Okay, let's dive into some of those layers. She starts with a pretty famous metaphor in the first essay in Plato's Cave.
Right. That's the foundation. The idea is that modern society is kind of like those prisoners in Plato's allegory. We're chained up, watching shadows on the wall, the photographic images, and we mistake them for reality itself.
So we experience the world increasingly through pictures of it.
We experience it through its pre-validated images, yeah. And this leads directly into her more controversial idea, the camera as a kind of weapon.
A weapon? That sounds extreme.
Well, think about the language we use, even casually. We load a camera, we aim it, we shoot a picture, we capture a moment.
Huh. Yeah, I never really thought about those words.
Sontag suggests that to photograph something is to appropriate it, to take possession of it. She even called taking a picture a kind of soft murder.
Yeah.
Freezing something, taking it out of the flow of life, giving us this illusion of knowing it, controlling it.
Wow. Okay, but hang on. What about documentary photography? You know, pictures meant to expose injustice, to show us important truths. Does she see that as aggressive too?
That's a great question. She definitely grapples with the ethics of looking, especially when she discusses photographers like Diane Arbus in the essay America, Seen Through Photographs Darkly.
Arbus, who photographed people on the margins, right? Freaks, outsiders.
Exactly. And Sontag uses Arbus's work to explore what she calls the ethics of voyeurism. She isn't just critiquing who Arbus chose to photograph. She's analyzing the transaction that happens when we look at those photos.
What does she mean by transaction?
Sontag argues that looking at those portraits often reinforces a sense of distance, maybe even a kind of chilling distance. We look at someone marked as different or other, and by contrasting ourselves with them, well, we implicitly reassure ourselves of our own normalcy.
So instead of fostering connection or compassion,
it can actually do the opposite. It can become about defining ourselves against the subject, avoiding a deeper moral engagement or sense of shared humanity.
That idea of freezing someone, fixing them in an image, it seems connected to what she says about time and melancholy, too.
Absolutely. In the essay Melancholy Objects, she argues that every photograph is inherently a memento mori, a reminder of death.
Because it captures a moment that's gone forever.
Exactly. It's irrevocably past. The photo stops the flow of life, turns it into this static artifact. That's why old photos, photos of people we've lost or buildings that aren't there anymore, have such a poignant, melancholy feel. The camera's function is to archive, to turn life into history instantly.
And she also connects photography to surrealism, right? How does that work?
Because the camera isolates things. It rips an object or a moment out of its context, out of the stream of time. And that act of isolation can make the most familiar things look strange, unfamiliar, like a found object in surrealist art.
So the world becomes this huge collection of strange items.
Yeah, like an infinite inventory we can sort through and classify. But paradoxically, while it seems to give us more control, this fragmentation also makes the world feel less real, more like a collection of surfaces.
Which leads us straight into debunking that old saying, the camera never lies. Sontag definitely didn't buy that.
Not for a second. In Photographic Evangels, she hammers home that a photograph is never objective truth. It's always, always a subjective interpretation. Its meaning isn't fixed.
It depends on the context.
Totally. Depends on the caption somebody slaps underneath it. Depends on how it's used, who's showing it to you, and why. The meaning is incredibly unstable.
This feels really important when we think about photos used for social change. You mentioned Lewis Hine earlier documenting child labor.
Right. Sontag acknowledges that photos can be powerful calls to action initially. Hine's work definitely helped change laws. But she also warns about something crucial, compassion fatigue.
Compassion fatigue.
Yeah, the idea that being constantly bombarded with images of suffering over time doesn't necessarily make us more compassionate. It can actually numb us. Tragedy becomes just another spectacle.
So we see the picture, we feel bad for a second, but maybe we don't actually do anything.
Or we feel like seeing the picture was the action. We consume the suffering visually, and that consumption takes the place of genuine understanding or sustained effort to help. It's a really sobering thought.
Okay, so all these ideas seem to build towards her final warning in the essay, The Image World.
Exactly. This is where she really synthesizes everything. She argues that we've reached a point where experience itself feels less real, less valid, unless it's been photographed. You know the modern phrase?
Pics or it didn't happen.
That's basically Sontag's diagnosis from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about tourists who aren't really seeking experiences anymore. They're hunting for photographic proof that they had experiences worth showing off.
It turns everything into a performance almost.
Into a consumer spectacle. And this constant mediation, this living through the lens, erodes our sense of reality. It fosters this deep alienation. Her conclusion is pretty stark. She says we desperately need an ecology of images.
An ecology of images? What does that mean? Like conservation for pictures?
Sort of. It means we need to be more conscious, more critical, maybe even learn when not to take a picture, how to see the world directly without needing the camera as an intermediary, fighting back against the visual pollution.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot to absorb. If we were to try and boil down Sontag's incredibly dense argument into just a few key takeaways for you, the listener, what would they be?
All right, let's simplify. First, I'd say photography as aggression. Always remember her definition. Taking a picture isn't passive. It's an act of power, of appropriation, of classifying the world. Whether it's state surveillance or just you organizing your holiday snaps, there's an element of control being asserted.
Okay, aggression. What's next?
Second, and this one feels maybe the most relevant day to day, is the replacement of reality. We are, culturally speaking, kind of addicted to the image. We often prioritize the photo, the representation, over the messy, unmediated real experience.
And why do we do that?
Because the image is easier. It's clean, it's shareable, it's manageable. The real world, not so much. But Sontag warns this devalues the actual world around us.
Okay, third takeaway.
The ethical paradox of witnessing. This connects back to compassion fatigue. The sheer volume of images, especially of suffering that we see, can turn tragedy into something aesthetic. Just another thing to look at.
Which can make us numb.
Exactly. It creates desensitization. We feel like we've witnessed something just by scrolling past the photo, and that can replace genuine moral engagement.
Right. And a fourth key theme.
I think it's the democratization of importance. The camera, in a way, flattens hierarchies. Anything could be a crack in the pavement, could be a grand mountain range, could be something horrific. Anything can be made interesting, compelling, just by being framed in a photograph.
So it's the photographer's eye, not the subject itself, that grants importance.
Pretty much. The act of photographing confers significance, regardless of the intrinsic value of the thing being photographed.
Sontag was such a sharp writer, too. Her phrasing is so memorable. Maybe we could look at a few key quotes that really crystallize her ideas.
Definitely. She was a master of the aphorism. How about starting with her core definition of the act itself? She writes, "To photograph is to appropriate the thing photographed. It means putting oneself into a certain relation to the world that feels like knowledge, and therefore like power."
That perfectly captures it, doesn't it? Photography as taking possession, feeling like you understand or control something just because you have its image.
Exactly. It's not passive looking. It's an active seizure. The photo becomes this tangible piece of the world you hold.
Okay, what about the social impact? There's that line.
Ah, yes. The camera makes everyone a tourist in other people's reality and eventually in one's own.
Oof. That one hits hard. It speaks to that alienation, right? The camera as a barrier.
Totally. You're so busy getting the shot, framing the experience, that you're not actually in it. You become a spectator. And she argues that voyeuristic stance eventually turns inward. We start viewing our own lives as a series of photo ops, moments to be curated for an audience.
Frighteningly accurate for the social media age. And one more.
How about this one? Photographs are a grammar, and even more importantly, an ethics of seeing.
A grammar and an ethics. What's she getting at there?
It means photography isn't just a technology. It's like a new language that actually structures how we perceive the world. It teaches us what's worth looking at, what counts as beautiful, what we should pay attention to. And because it shapes our seeing, it inevitably shapes our moral relationship to the world too.
Which is why she felt it was so urgent to critique it.
Precisely.
So thinking about all this, how can you, listening now, actually apply these ideas? Sontag feels so current, it's almost spooky.
It really is. Well, first off, her concept of the image world is basically the blueprint for Instagram, TikTok, all of it. So use her analysis to be more critical of what you see there.
Like remembering it's all curated.
Exactly. Remember, you're seeing a highly selective, often idealized interpretation, not reality. Question the polished image. Ask yourself what isn't being shown. It helps you become a more conscious consumer, less susceptible to the pressure.
Good point. What else?
Develop your media literacy, especially with news images. Sontag's skepticism about photographic objectivity is vital now. When you see a powerful news photo, ask those Sontagian questions. What's outside the frame? Who took this? Who's publishing it? What caption is steering my interpretation? What feeling is it trying to evoke in me?
It forces you to see the potential for manipulation, even in pictures that seem straightforward.
Right, and it may be the most practical application. Try to reclaim authentic experience sometimes. Sontag was critical of the tourist just collecting photos.
So put the phone away.
maybe just for a bit. If you're at that concert or seeing something amazing in nature, make a conscious choice to just be there. Experience it directly for a significant chunk of time, not just through your screen while thinking about the future post.
The actual memory is more valuable than the metadata.
You got it. Engage with the present moment.
So, wrapping up, what's the biggest takeaway for you from revisiting On Photography?
For me, it's that essential shift in perspective she demands. We have to stop seeing photos as these innocent, transparent windows onto reality. Yeah. We need to see them for what they are. Powerful interpretations, loaded with ideology, often tools of control.
Yeah, and for me, it's the profound insight that the camera didn't just record reality. It fundamentally changed what we even consider real. Her warning feels more urgent than ever.
That final thought is chilling, isn't it? A society that prefers the image, the copy, over the thing itself.
Over the original reality. Is a society maybe losing its grip on truth altogether? See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.